I am thankful for a church where someone who doesn't know English can come to our Wednesday night English as a second language class, learn English, find Jesus, find their way into the fellowship of this church, become a deacon of our church, become the chairman of our building and properties committee. Folks, that doesn't happen at every church out there, and it does here. And I thank you for being the church that you are and the kind of people that you are, and Angel and Sandra praying, leading us in our service today. We have members of our church from 15 different countries around the world. That doesn't happen in every church either. And I'm so thankful for the diversity, the ethnicity that God brings here. You are a special church, a special congregation. You know that. That's why you're here. This is a special place. And so I'm thankful for what God is doing, continues to do here at First Baptist Church. 3 months ago, Benson Boone released a new hit single that made it all the way to number 2 on the pop charts. Benson Boone was discovered on American Idol back in 2021. He's only 21 years old. And the name of the hit single that he has is entitled Beautiful Things. And he said about this song, he said it's a ballad about the meaning of life. He has all these beautiful things in his life. He said, I have a nice girlfriend, I have a nice home, I have wonderful parents. And so the chorus of this new hit song says, oh God, don't take these beautiful things away. As we ended our message last Sunday morning, God's people, the Israelites, had some beautiful things. They had completed building the magnificent temple. They had paid for it. There was peace on all sides. No one was making war on them. Life was good. Life was filled with beautiful things. And that's how we ended. But because of their sinfulness and their disobedience in the days to come, the beautiful things were taken away. The magnificent temple was destroyed, and God's people were carried away to live in captivity. And eventually, a remnant would return and build that temple that's destroyed. They would rebuild it again. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Them rebuilding the walls that had come down. During the month of April here at First Baptist Church, we're going through our building emphasis for building, of course, a new structure here, a new worship center right where we sit. $26 to $28 million is the estimate, and it's going to take about 16 months once we start demolition, and we'll be worshiping in the worship center. We've covered all of that with you in our meetings and on Sunday morning. But we're talking on Sunday mornings, biblically, how did God's people build buildings? Because I don't want to just strike out on our own wisdom and take off. Let's see how God's people did it in Scripture. How did they build it and how they funded it? Because it talks about both. And so this morning we're going to talk about rebuilding that temple once it was flattened. There's one book of the Bible that's devoted entirely to rebuilding that temple. It's the prophet Haggai. Read with me, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, there says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills, bring wood, and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land, and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and all their labors. Let's look today at the rebuilding of that temple. First of all, letter A on your outline, beautiful things gone. There are six Old Testament books that talk about the time frame we're mentioning this morning. God's people, they built the temple, magnificent temple, they sinned, they're carried away into captivity. Six books talk about that time frame. We have Esther, we have Ezra, we have Nehemiah, and then you have three prophets. You have Zechariah, and you have Haggai, and then you have Malachi. So, as you know, God's people built this magnificent temple. They sinned against the Lord. God had two nations come in, invade God's people as punishment for their sins, Assyria in the north and Babylonian in the south. They destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, charred rubble, blackened stone, nothing is left, and they took God's people and carried them 1,400 miles away to Babylon to sit there as captives. Well, the book of Ezra opens, and here's what happened. As Ezra opens, God's people sitting there in Babylon, discouraged and dejected. Now Persia has taken over for Babylon, so they're actually under the control of the Persians, sitting there in Babylon, and they're discouraged and dejected because they think about home, and what's left at home is charred rubble, and this beautiful temple of God is lying in ruins, and they're sitting there dejected. But God worked in the course of events to bring together the opportunity for them to go back, rebuild the temple, and honor his name. King Cyrus took over and he said, sure, I'll let you return. No need staying captives here. Go back to your homeland and rebuild it. In fact, I'm going to give you money to build it. What? That's unheard of. God used an unexpected resource to build it. So he funded their way back and funded the rebuilding of the temple. A pagan king. One of the things I'm excited about in our building program is God's going to do some unconventional things. He may have a pagan king put him on, who knows? God's going to do some unconventional things, and that's the exciting part, to see how is he going to do that. So they get ready to go back. The book of Nehemiah opens. Nehemiah is one of the ones who's going to lead the people back. Now, Ezra, gets the people ready. Go back. He wants you to organize. I'm going to stay here. Nehemiah's going back. You go back. And so he gets them all together, and Nehemiah takes them back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the temple. They get there. They're excited to build. But man, they encounter one problem after another. You see, it's an exciting time in our church to build and see the animation and see what all God's going to do and go, wow, that's exciting. And there's been a buzz in our church since January. But folks, it's not going to be easy to either. Be honest with you, it's not. You see, when they got back, the nations around Israel did not want them there. So they banded together, three kings banded together and tried to discourage the Israelites from rebuilding everything. And they threw one after another at them to try to get them to stop. And it almost worked. I truly anticipate once we start on this project, the enemy is not going to like it. Do you think God's honored? Seriously, do you think God's honored in us all making commitments and binding together in excitement and real build for another generations to come? No, he's not. So he's going to try things at you as well, me. So what did they do? They tried six things. Those foreign kings tried six things to discourage Nehemiah and God's people. Number one, they tried to discredit their leader. They tried to discredit Nehemiah. They tried to make everybody think, you're getting over your skis here, dude. That's what they tried to make him think. They even tried to draw him away and ambush him and kill him. But God protected him. Second thing they tried to discredit God's people with lies and gossip and slander. They started to talk about them in the area. Okay, oh, look what they're trying to rebuild those walls. Well, look at them. What if a little fox jumps on it? It'll fall over. Ah! And they laughed at God's people. And they're going to try to discredit you. Oh, I can hear the talk, can't you? Have you heard what First Baptist is doing? Yeah, did you? Oh, who do they think they are? Wow, I guess they think they're better than everybody else. I can hear it. Don't let them discourage you with the slander and the lies and the gossip. Then they tried a third thing. They tried to manipulate God's word that he had told them to make them question whether God really told them that or not. Did he really tell you to come back and rebuild that? Wow, that's a pretty tall project. Did God really lead this church to do that? Well, maybe he didn't. And then they tried a fourth thing, threats. They tried psychological warfare on God's people. They tried to discourage them mentally and emotionally. And then number five, they tried compromise. They tried to make God's people compromise what he had told them to do. And none of those worked. And then they tried a sixth one. And it almost worked. They got them fighting amongst themselves. And it almost stopped the work of the temple. It's close. You see, as long as the attacks were from the outside, they could fend those off pretty well. But whenever they started to get one person against another, and one staff member against another, and one leader against another, and start bickering and not getting along, and the fellowship internally was disrupted, it almost stopped the building of the temple. Folks, we can expect those things. And whenever you begin to see one thing against another member and against another member as we start this project, don't be surprised. Know who's behind it. It's the enemy. It's his MO. It's what he does. So we can expect the same. But they didn't listen. They kept building because God had set their hands to this. And they constructed it. Now let's go back to Haggai the prophet. In the midst of God leading Ezra and Nehemiah back in this whole process, God spoke to the heart of three prophets. And they were like polished arrows in the quiver of God, and their words shot to the heart of the people, and the people listened to Haggai, one of the few prophets they listened to. They listened to him. And he told God's people, You go back to your homeland, you get your houses ready first, but you don't do anything with mine. It's time, he said, to build mine. So let's look at number two on your outline, how to rebuild the temple. How to rebuild the temple. We're not really told much about Haggai in the Bible. We don't really know a lot about him. We don't know his daddy's name, which is unusual. Jews always tell you their heritage. Don't know his dad's name. We don't know which tribe he's from. We don't know anything about him. He just shows up in Ezra chapter 5, and there he is. Some people believe that he was an old man. Some believe that Haggai was in the original Jerusalem before it was destroyed. And then it was destroyed, and he was carried captive and stayed 70 years with God's people. And then he turns around and comes back to rebuild everything. And so now he is a really old man. And he remembered the glory of the past, and he encouraged God's people, you need to build God a house that reflects his glory. And so it says, in the second year of Darius, the first day of the month, God's word went to Haggai, and Haggai told the people, now some of you are saying it's not time to build. It's okay what we have. But I'm telling you, it is time. And then he told the people, you all have nice homes to go to. You have panel houses. Your roof doesn't leak when it rained like it did yesterday. Your foundation's fine. Your HVAC works great. It's hot. Yours works great. So it's easy to say, well, this is fine. Whenever God said, what about my house? If yours had all those issues, you do something. Over the course of 70 years, we have bought homes and built homes and remodeled homes, and my family has. We bought a home. God's saying, now it's time to go up to the hills, put first things first, and build my house. And then he told him something interesting. He says, you don't have things, you're struggling financially because, now I don't know if this is a principle that is always eternal, but it was for them. You're struggling financially because of my house. He told him that. You drink and you're not still thirsty. You eat and you're still hungry. Put clothes on and clothes on and clothes on, you can't get warm. And the reason is because I have blown on what you have. And whenever you're ready to put my priorities first, I'll restore yours. So you and I could sit back and we could be selfish and say, this is good enough. And then we go to our nice homes. Or we could say, let the next generation build their own. We could say that. But back in 1955, before I was even born, a group of people on this spot decided to build this. I've not paid 1 cent for this building, not one. But I've enjoyed it for 20 years, raised my family here, 20 years. So now it's my turn, your turn, for the next one to sit here. So God would be glorified and his word would continue to go forth, and the message that Jesus saves will continue to ring forth from this spot. So go up to the hills and gather and build. Folks, this church has meant a lot to a lot of people for many generations. There are a lot of churches out there. This one is different. And you know it's different. That's why you're here. If it's different. And like God told Haggai, it's time. I'm sharing with you, God has led me to say it's time. Altogether, Haggai preached 4 sermons. They are composed in all of the 2 chapters of Haggai. In fact, we're told the dates he preached them. He preached them on August the 27th of the year 520. And then he preached his second one on October 17th. And then he preached sermons 3 and 4 in one day on December 18th. That's a long day. Had 2 sermons. We know when he preached the 4 sermons. And we know 2 things about Haggai. Haggai had a passion for God's house. And Haggai was very straightforward with the people of God. During that month of April, I'm preaching 4 sermons to you about building. April 7th, April 14th, April 21st, and April 28th. So we know when I'm preaching them, like Haggai. I have a passion for God's house as well. Folks, it's all I've ever done. It's all I've ever done since I was 24. I love God's house. I love God's people. I have a passion for it. And I've been straightforward with you, and I always will. I've told you at the first that it's how much it's going to cost, we think. I've told you from the first how we're going to do it. I've told you from the very beginning we're going to need lead gifts. We're going to need some of you to step up. We have the resources to help us get. We're going to need you. I've told you from the beginning what we're going to need. I've told you what's going to change, what's not going to change. And I've been straightforward with you. And Haggai told God's people, it's time to think about not just what you get from God, but what you give to God as well. And I know it's easy in church to come to church. Well, I get that. I get so much out of your sermons. I get so much out of this. I get. And sometimes if we're not careful, that becomes who we are spiritually. And it's not just I get. It's I give. And I build. So, I want us to go to letter C before I close. Building you while building the temple. Whenever God's people started to rebuild this temple again, when they went back, something interesting happened. As they built the temple, God began to build them. Before they left, Ezra was one of the ones, got them together and says, okay, folks, when you get back, I'm not going with you, Nehemiah is, but when you get back, here's what you need to do. As soon as you get back, item number one, get back to the Word of God. Obey God, whatever He's told you to do. Obey the law. Fulfill His commandments. Whatever He's told you, you put that priority one. He emphasized the spiritual. And then Haggai came along. And Haggai began a spiritual shift of the people. Yes, you're building, but as you build, God's building you. And give more devotion to God and less devotion to self. And direct those spiritual disciplines to be the center of your thoughts. So, from the very beginning of this project, I have felt impressed, and I told you that, I've felt impressed of God to do the same. As we build this building for the next 3 years, I am praying that God will build you, and God will build me. Not just the structure, but our temples. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17, he told the people, you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He told you, build your temple. So, as we're building God's house, I want to challenge you to build you. As I've said several times, if at the 3 years at the end of it, if we have a beautiful structure here, but we're all the same people, we failed. Because we should be different. So I shared with you during the informational meetings in February and March that during the month of April, I'm going to set some spiritual disciplines challenges before you for the next 3 years. And so now's that time. I want you to hear me out before we close. They may not be easy for some of you, but here's what I'm going to challenge you. 5 spiritual disciplines over the course of the next 3 years. Before I get to the 5, just a quick note. This morning, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, that's where you start. Not with these disciplines. You start with receiving Christ. There are some that we have who come to our church every Sunday and you've never received Jesus. You never have. You're kind of trying to blend into the church and do what we do. And you don't become a Christian by just doing what God's people do, blending in. There must be a transformative time in your heart and spirit. So this morning, we're going to have an invitation just in a few minutes. I'm going to ask you, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you begin there. Not with these 5. You begin there. Come forward and we'll have ministers who lead you to Christ. But if you're saved, there are 5 challenges I want to give you. 5 areas. Number 1. Scripture, the Bible, I'm going to encourage you to study it and to memorize it. Now, God's word was the emphasis whenever Haggai and Ezra told God's people and they went back to build the temple. I'm going to encourage you to read God's word every single day. Don't try not to miss a day in 3 years. 1,092 days starts next Sunday. If you want to read through the Bible in a year, now's a good time to start. Maybe you've wanted to do that. May 1st of next year, you'll have read it all. Read God's word every day. In addition, there are some Bible studies I'm going to recommend for you, probably 15 or 20 or so. I'm going to recommend to you that if you want to do a Bible study in addition throughout the course of these 3 years, one a year, two a year, whatever, I'm going to give you some suggestions. We have what's called Right Now Media, which is a video-based Bible studies. You have a subscription to it free. You probably didn't know it, but as a member of our church, you've got a free subscription. In tomorrow's imprint, I'll give you instructions on how you can do that. Or also, you can go to our website under Legacy. There's going to be a section called Spiritual Discipline Challenges, and that information will be on there. So I encourage you to do a Bible study, one, two, it's up to you, a year over the course of 3 years. But I'm also going to challenge you to do something else, and hear me out. I'm going to challenge you over the next 3 years to memorize, commit to memory, one book of the Bible. You choose the book. Over 3 years. Now, I'm sure you're not going to choose Isaiah, but Jude, I'm sure everybody chooses Jude, 2 John. It's okay, whatever you choose, you choose. But you have 1,092 days to memorize a book of the Bible. You say, whoa, that's a lot. Hold on. I can't memorize. Sure you can. You know your phone number, your address, your kids' names. Most of the days you know kids' names. Sure you can. It's what you commit to do. I'm going to memorize Hebrews. Hebrews has 303 verses. So that means over the course of 3 years, if I memorize Hebrews, I only need to memorize one verse every 3 days to memorize the whole book. Let's say you choose Colossians. Book of Colossians, 4 chapters, 95 verses. That means over the course of 3 years, all you have to do is memorize one verse every 11 days to memorize Colossians. Why do we do that? Because Scripture tells us that I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And folks, you know what I've seen? I've gone to the bedside of dying saints, and they can't remember anything, and they'll quote Scripture. Something about God's word hidden here is powerful. So I'm going to challenge you. You pick the book. You got 1,092 days to do it. Memorize one book. Area number two, spiritual gifts. Know them and use them. I preached a sermon series on spiritual gifts, kind of preparing for this day several months back. 20 spiritual gifts that are out there. You have one of them. But we don't always use those spiritual gifts in the local body, which is what God designed them for. So I'm going to challenge you, know your spiritual gifts. You say, well, I don't know. How do I know what they are? Go to our website. I'll give you in the imprint tomorrow the information. Go to our website. We'll have a survey on there. And we also have a master list on there. Once you know your gifts, you say, okay, I have the gift of service. There are a lot of different areas in our church where you can use that gift. So you can volunteer in one of those. Or you have I have the gift of wisdom. Okay, there are some areas that you can serve one of those. Pick out one, just one. Know your gift over 3 years and use that in our church over 3 years. Area number three. Third area is the sacrifice of giving, keeping your commitment, 3-year commitment. Keeping your tithes faithful with those as God told us to be, so our ministry needs and budget needs are met. Just stay faithful to what God has called us to and committed us to do. Some churches, they do the same thing that we do on Sundays. They bring the cards, and they're not all fulfilled. And so this church is different. So I encourage you, as it's part of the spiritual discipline, to stay committed in giving. Number four, prayer. 127 and a prayer stone. Let me explain those. My goal is this entire building project is covered and bathed in prayer. We're going to have, over the course of 3 years, different times of concerted prayer initiatives. We may say, okay, we're going to set aside this month, and we're going to come at a certain time, we're going to pray. And then we'll go maybe another month, and we're going to set aside 3 weeks, and we're going to do this, and 2 weeks, and do this, and 6 weeks. We'll do that through the course of 3 years prayer initiatives. But here's what I want you to do every day. First of all, spend time with God in prayer. You decide the length. I'm not going to say spend an hour in prayer every day. You decide the length, but spend time with Him every day. Second of all, at 1:27, you can do it a.m. if you want. I'm going to do mine at p.m. 1:27 every afternoon, I want you to set an alarm on your phone. When it goes off, I want you just to breathe a quick prayer for the building project and for God building you. 1:27 every day. Why 1:27? Because Psalm 1:27, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor build in vain. God's got to build a structure. So I'm going to ask you, 1:27 every day, your phone goes off, quick prayer for His house to be built and for God to build you. Here's the second thing I want you to do. As you leave today, at every exit, there's going to be a little rock that looks like that. It's a decorative stone. This is mine, smooth. I want you to take one of these. That's your prayer stone. I'm going to keep mine in my pocket. And every time I reach into my pocket and I feel the smooth stone, I'm going to breathe a prayer for the project and for God to build me. Every time I feel the smooth stone. You may want to keep it in your purse. When you dig in your purse and you feel it, you may want to keep it beside your bed. That's fine. But something to remind you that when you feel this or you see it, you will breathe a prayer for God to build this and God to build you. Whenever we start in 14 months to break ground on this new structure, the day that they pour concrete, we're going to gather as a church and we're going to take our stones and we're going to place them into the wet concrete, so that the very foundation of this new building is going to be based on your prayers. So grab a stone today. Pray when you feel it. And then 14 months from now, we'll place it into the foundation. And then one more area, missions. I want you to do one mission project every year for 3 years. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I can't really travel anymore. Not asking you to travel. Some of you may want to take vacation and travel on one of our mission trips, but you don't have to. We will have a list on our website of the possible mission endeavors you can do. Some of them are local, some of them are here. Maybe you don't have good health, and maybe it's just gathering in the Mac to put things together to send on a mission trip with us. Who knows what it is? Pick out one, just one. And do one a year for 3 years. Bible study, spiritual gifts, giving, prayer, and missions. That's my challenge to you. You be a better you at the end of 3 years. Whenever they rebuilt the temple, it's beautiful. Some thought maybe not as quite like it was. But God's house was restored and God's people rejoiced. My prayer, 3 years from now, we have a beautiful structure here. But we also have beautiful structures sitting out there. At the conclusion of temple number one, 1 Kings 8:66 says, as soon as the building was built, God's people were joyful of heart and went home glad at the goodness of God. And folks, it's my prayer. When this is over, you will be glad and joyful of heart at the goodness of God. Father, thank you today for your people. This is a unique church, and these are great people. I'm so thankful to spend almost 20 years of my life with them. God, this is a beautiful worship center, but we also know we're getting older and we need a new one. And so thank you for leading us to this, and thank you for the commitment of our people. God, as this book of Haggai says, may you take pleasure in it, and may you be glorified in it. Father, I pray for those spiritual disciplines and challenges today. I pray for those that need Jesus. God, may they have courage right now to step out into an aisle and walk up here. God, I pray for those that are already believers. I pray they will accept these five challenges. And God, you will shape us and mold us into beautiful temples for you. God, would you start that process next Sunday? Lord, help us to make decisions today that we need to make in Jesus' name. Amen.